James chapter 1. We're going to be looking at verses 2 through 4. And also we're going to be looking at Romans chapter 5. So you can try to hold both places there if you can do that. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come into your presence, and Lord, I just really ask you for your help. Know that there are many things and struggles going on, I know, in the lives of these individuals here at church and those who weren't able to be here. Lord, I just pray that you would work in those situations. But now, Lord, I pray as we look into your word, Lord, we're asking that you would speak to our hearts, that you would help us, Lord, that you would grow us tonight. Lord, even as we look into the Word of God tonight, grow us. Lord, help us. And I pray that you would give me the precise words to say and to share. We love you, Lord, and we ask you for special grace. In Jesus' name I pray these things. Amen. James chapter 1, verse 2. And if you're going through a hard time, if you're going through adversity, through hardship, you read this verse a little bit differently than if you're having, you know, just a good day and the sun is shining and everything's okay. But let's really look at these words. James chapter 1, verse 2 says, "My brethren," and whenever we see that phrase, brethren, who are we talking to specifically? Christians, right? The church, brother and sister, those who know Christ as Lord and Savior. "My brethren, count it all," and what's the next word? Joy. That's a big word, joy. "Count it all joy when you fall into diverse," that means various, "temptations." And that word temptations is a broad word in Greek. It refers to temptations and trials. It refers to hardships in general. "So my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various hardships, temptations and trials, knowing this, the trying of your faith worketh patience." Now flip over to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, and you can keep your hands there in both places if you can do that. Romans chapter 5 and verse 3. It says, "And not only so, but we glory in tribulations." Did you see the word we just said? We glory in tribulations? We glory in tribulations also, knowing something, that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. I want to read a short little excerpt from page 173 of Trusting God Even When Life Hurts. And this is the chapter that is entitled Growing Through Adversity. Growing through hardship. Going through hard times. Are we growing? That's a huge question. That's a hard question. And I think tonight's message is just, you know, we can hear it, we've heard it before, but really applying it to our lives, especially as we're struggling, this is a hard thing. Considering it joy, having glory in your tribulation, these are big words. One of the most fascinating events in nature is the emergence of the Cecropia moth. Cecropia is spelled C-E-C-R-O-P-I-A, but the first C is a S sound, all right? So just want to make sure everybody's on the same page. The Cecropia moth from its cocoon, an event that occurs only with much struggle on the part of the moth to free itself. The story is frequently told of someone who watched a moth go through this struggle. Has anybody ever watched a moth go through the struggle of coming out of the cocoon? Okay, so the story is told frequently. You told someone who watched a moth go through the struggle. In an effort to help and not realizing the necessity of the struggle, the viewer snipped the shell of the cocoon. Anybody know what happens when you snip the shell of the cocoon? It says, "Soon the moth came out with its wings all crimped and shriveled. But as the person watched, the wings remained weak. The moth, which in a few moments would have stretched those wings to fly, was now doomed to crawling out its brief life in frustration of ever being the beautiful creature God created it to be."
Here's the point. What the person in the story did not realize was that the struggle to emerge from the cocoon was an essential part. Did you hear that word? An essential part of developing the muscle system of the moth's body and pushing the body fluids out into the wings to expand them. By unwisely seeking to cut short the moth's struggle, the watcher had actually crippled the moth and doomed its existence. The adversities of life are much like the cocoon of the Cecropia moth. God uses them to develop the spiritual muscle system of our lives. And here is a great statement. We can be sure that the development of a beautiful Christ-like character will not occur in our lives without adversity. Now, I don't like that sentence very much, but I believe it's true. Everybody know what I'm talking about? I don't like pain. I don't like hardship. And I don't know very many people who do. But I do believe it is as a great illustration that this hardship really develops in us beautiful Christ-like character. And we can be sure again that the development of a beautiful Christ-like character will not occur in our lives without some kinds of adversity. I don't like hardship. Anybody out there with me? All right, you don't like pain, you don't like hardship. I don't like hardship. I don't like pain. And I was thinking about these things, and I don't want this statement to be true, but I believe it is true. Adversity reveals who we really are. Now think about that just for a moment. Adversity reveals who we really are. Who we are. Who we really are. Is not revealed on a good day, right? When the sun is shining and everything's going great and somebody puts an extra $500 in a checking account, that does not reveal who we really are. You know when we are really revealed of who we really are? It's when we have hardship. It's when we have adversity, when we have problems. I have some examples here. We may think that we have true Christian love for others until someone offends us, or treats us nasty, and then all of a sudden, what often comes out? Nastiness, right? What did that adversity reveal about us? Not that we were so good and kind and loving, but really that we are sinners inside. And really that we often, isn't it true that when we're squeezed, we often are not impressed with what comes out? Is that true? We're having a bad day, and so we just had a bad day. Well, that's adversity. And adversity reveals who we really are. We may think we have joy, that we're a happy person and we have joy in our lives until our lives are shattered by unexpected calamities or grievous disappointments. And then we see really how much joy and peace do we have. I just want to tell you all this. And I feel like I have the freedom to say this because Stephanie and Hannah are not here. But I want to tell you, when I went over there to the house, and I've now been over there many times, even last night, I am amazed by Stephanie Akers and Hannah Akers' response in this adversity. They are being squeezed. This is hard. And I'm just being specific this morning. That's whatever. It's not this morning anymore. This evening. All right. I'm being specific this evening. But I just want to say, when I see that, I just think, you know, there's a lot of hard things they're facing. What's coming out, I believe, is beautiful. Can we see that? We may think we are unselfish until we get married. You know, when I was 25 years old, I thought, and y'all are going to snicker, but I thought, you know, I thought I was decently unselfish, and I thought I was decently humble. You know, I knew I struggled, but then I got married, and all of a sudden, I really wanted that whole coffee frappuccino all to myself. I didn't want to share it.
you know? And I wanted to choose, you know, what movie or what TV channel. And, you know, all of a sudden, you know, there's that little conflict. Married people, you know what you're talking, you know what I'm talking about? That little conflict. And all of a sudden you realize what? How selfish you really are. How selfish I am. I'm just telling on myself. Maybe you're not selfish, but I think most of us struggle with that. And what am I saying? I'm saying this. Adversity, really bad days, reveal who we really are. And who we really are is often not something very beautiful. God uses these circumstances, these difficulties that enter into our lives to reveal to us our need to grow, our need for God to develop pure, true, Christ-like character into our lives. God has more wisdom and love than we do, and God, and here is a statement that the author states here in Trusting God, he says this, God will not remove the adversity until we have profited from it and developed in whatever way he intended. I think that's a true statement. I want you to go back to Romans chapter 5 and verse 3. And it says, because I believe this is a challenging phrase. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations. I could understand maybe if the Bible says that we endure trials. But James here and Romans also, it says that we are to rejoice, that we are to take joy, that we are to glory in our tribulations. But it's very clear here that we don't joy in the pain. We don't rejoice in the hardship. What are we rejoicing in? Because the Bible is very clear. Okay? Look at what it says. It says, and not only so, but we glory in our tribulations also. Why? Because of the result of that tribulation. Knowing what? That tribulation works patience. So you see, we are glorying in the expected result. How can we glory? How can we joy? Not that we're in pain, but that we know that through this pain, God is going to do something great. He's going to work patience. He's going to work Christ-like character in our lives. Go over to James again, James chapter 1. And we see the same idea. All right, James chapter 1. James chapter 1. It says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various temptations, trials, hardships. And then again, do you see the next word? Knowing this. We are supposed to know something, okay? Knowing this, that the trying of your faith, these hardships, worketh patience. So you see, there's an expected result from the pain. When we face pain, when we face hardship, when we face adversity and tough circumstances. It hurts. How can we glory? Knowing that God is in charge, that we can trust God, and that God is developing Christ-like character in us as we look at Him, as we run after Him and keep our eyes focused on Jesus Christ. God knows what He's doing. There's another great statement here, and I believe I have it up here for us. I think this is really powerful. Through the word of God, we are nourished. Through adversity, we are pruned and made fruitful. Through the word of God, we're nourished, but through adversity, we are pruned and made fruitful. God knows what He's doing. And He is training. His training of us is carried out with exquisite skill. And God, He does not delight in our suffering. He brings only what is necessary. But He does not shrink from that which will help us grow. God will do whatever it takes to make us holy. Remember, we talked about this several weeks ago, that it's not, the goal is not happiness, the goal is holiness, right? That God would make us holy. And God will do whatever it takes to make us holy, to prune us, to cleanse us, to mold us, to do that work in our lives. And that's what hardship does. Are we growing? Are we going? So what do we learn from hardship? What do we learn from adversity? I think one thing that we learn from adversity and hardship is really to submit. Now this is, the idea of submission is really connected with trust. And I'm not talking about submit as like the general on the battlefield. He sees, oh, it's bad, and I yield, I give up. That's not what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about more of like the surgeon. You can do your research, and you can plan, and you can pray, but there comes a time when you have to trust the surgeon, and you just submit to allow the surgeon to do its work, his work. Over in Costa Rica, my wife and I, we had prayed and prayed and studied and studied and planned and just really sought the Lord fervently about this whole dentist and what to do and how to do it. And I remember talking with my wife just a few days ago, after all this planning, after all this praying, after asking the Lord. And then I said, you know, what it really comes down to, and we were talking about, really comes down to is you do have to, there comes a time when you just have to open your mouth and let the dentist do his work. Believing what? That the outcome is going to be beneficial. Now, my thought for you is this. Sometimes I think we trust the surgeon more than we trust the doctor. I'm sorry, I said that bad. We trust the surgeon more than we trust God, right? Okay, we trust the surgeon. We go to sleep, right? He puts us to sleep, and he takes open our knee, okay? And he fixes it. We are trusting him, right? We're submitting, all right, to what he's doing. And then he closes back up, and then we wake up again. What are we doing? We're submitting to work done that we believe is going to be beneficial. And that's what we're talking about. When we talk about adversity and hardship and trials, and it's so hard for us when we're in the midst of these things to really understand, okay, God, he's doing surgery on us. And we have to submit, we have to trust that he really does know what he's doing. And the outcome will be beneficial to us. And what does it mean to be beneficial to us? Does that mean that we have more money in our bank account? Is that what the Bible's talking about? No! It means that we're going to be more like Jesus Christ, conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. That's what we learn from hardships. We learn to submit. We learn a little bit more of the Word of God. Martin Luther is famous for saying this. Martin Luther, you know, the guy who posted up the 95 Theses. Martin Luther said, "Were it not for tribulation, I should not understand the Scriptures." Now think about that. You can read chapters and verses of the Bible, and they're always beneficial, but then you're going through a really hard time, and then you read that same chapter, and all of a sudden it's like, whoa, these verses, these words were just for me. What was the difference? The circumstance, right, that we're in, the hardship. And again, I say it. Were it not for tribulation, were it not for adversity and hardship, I should not understand the Scriptures. I thought that was an interesting quote. What do we learn? We learn to submit. We really learn even how to read our Bibles during this time of hardship. All right, so let's look real quickly. Is how do we specifically profit from hardship? What is God doing? What is he doing in our lives through hardship? And, you know, some of these things, it's just hard. Go over to John chapter 15. And verse 2. How do we specifically profit from hardships and adversities? John chapter 15 and verse 2. So every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it. And that idea is he prunes it, that it may bring forth, what's the next two words? More fruit. How many of y'all know how to prune a vine or prune a tree? How many of y'all know how to do that? All right, now I would say I'm not really good at that kind of thing. But an unpruned vine, from everything I've seen and everything I've read about, an unpruned vine, unpruned, will grow a great deal. But it will not produce much fruit, right? It'll grow, but it won't produce much fruit. So what does somebody who knows what they're doing does? They take that tree and they cut it down. If y'all ever see this done, it is amazing how much people cut back those trees or how much people trim back those vines. And it's almost like when I'm watching people do it, I've watched some of you do it, I'm like, you're killing it. And they're like, no, we're not. No, we're not. And it seems vicious, but you know what's the goal? And someone who knows what they're doing, they could snip here and snip here and snip here, and there's a lot of snipping. But what comes out is a whole lot more flowers or a whole lot more fruit. And that's exactly what God is. He is the perfect husbandman. He knows what he's doing. And what does he do? He prunes us. He purges us that we may bring forth more fruit. What is God doing? Every single time when we're facing hardship, when we're in the middle of tough circumstances, what is he doing? We know what he's doing. This is one of them right here. We are pruned to become more fruitful. Always. This is what God is doing. Every time we face hardship, every time we face tough stuff, God wants us to be more fruitful. That's the goal. He's pruning us to become more fruitful. God prunes us so that we will be more fruitful. Number two here, we are pruned, I'm going to keep that idea, to become holy. Go over to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter, actually Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 10. As I've already stated, adversity often reveals our true nature. So look at Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 10. For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. We've looked at this verse a few weeks back. But he, that is God, for our profit. Did you hear that? Did you see that? For our profit. God is doing something for whose profit? For our profit. Okay? For our profit, that we, that is Christians, if you're a Christian, this is for you, that we might be, here's some beautiful words, partakers of whose holiness? Of his holiness. This is what God is doing. God is pruning us so that we would be more like him, that we would have a little bit more of his holiness. You know, so often when we see adversity, and when it comes upon our life, and we see how we are responding, that's where we humble ourselves and repent. And that is the path to greater holiness. Just to see, okay, God, I see my need. I see what you're doing. I see that I am not as wonderful or as, I'm just not as good as I thought I was. And I'm allowing you to do your work in my life. Number three, go over to John chapter 15. We are pruned to become dependent. John chapter 15 and verse 5. This is what God is doing. I believe every time when we face adversity, we are pruned to become more fruitful. We are pruned to become holy. And we are pruned to become dependent. In America, I would say Americans take a special pride and independence. I work hard, I pay my bills, I get the job done. And I believe, sadly, that rolls over as Christians into our Christian life sometimes, and that's a horrible thing. This independence, this tendency to be independent and self-reliant. What does God say? What's the Bible say? John 15, verse 5 says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. And then what does the next phrase say? For without me, ye can do nothing. You know what adversity does? You know what hardships? You know, sometimes just a little hardship and we can, you know, use our wisdom or use our strength, use our skill. We're like, yeah, see, I beat that one. But then there comes a trial and a hardship that it's like, this one's big. And what it does is, it's like kicks everything out from underneath us. And then you know what? Who do we turn to? As Christians, we must turn to completely upon God. We are to be completely dependent upon God, not on our own wisdom, not on our own resources, not on other people, completely dependent upon God. So my question is, okay, we are pruned to become more fruitful. We are pruned to become holy. We are pruned to become dependent. And when we are fruitful and holy and dependent, that means that we can actually really serve the Lord, right? We become better servants. You know the fruit that God wants us to bear? It's not for us. is it? You know, an apple tree, and I know this is a silly illustration, but an apple tree doesn't take its branch and, you know, take it to its mouth and eats the apple itself, right? The apple is for what? It's for other people. And as we allow God to do his great work in us, when we are pruned, we become more fruitful, become more holy, become dependent upon him. That's when God can really use us. That's when our lives can really make an eternal impact on the lives of others. I was thinking about a biblical illustration here, and I believe one of the best illustrations for this is the guy named Moses. Remember Moses, the great leader? Moses, when he was 40 years old, he saw a Hebrew slave being beaten. What did Moses do? He killed him. Who was Moses relying on at that moment? Himself. I mean, he was trying, you know, he was trying to do a good thing. Can you see that? He was trying, like, he was protecting the Hebrew slave. But he didn't do it the right way, right? And then he ran off into the desert, and for 40 years... You know what I believe God was doing for 40 years? This. He was pruning Moses to become more fruitful, to become holy, to become dependent. And after 40 years there, God said, "All right, Moses, I want you to go and tell Pharaoh to let my people go." And what did Moses say? He still had some growing to do. Don't we always have growing to do? He said, I can't talk. I can't talk very well. And God said, "Who made your mouth? Who made your mouth?" And God was able to use Moses, I believe, because of this pruning process. God took him to the desert and taught him for 40 years and continued to teach him. I want to tell you something. I think the older you grow, the more you realize life is painful. There's a lot of painful things in life. There's a lot of adversity. There's a lot of struggle. There's a lot of hard circumstances. And as Christians, we are commanded to rejoice. Rejoice knowing what? That God is in charge. That God is good. To rejoice as in the pain. Knowing that God is using this pain and this hardship to prune us, to mold us, to make us, to cleanse us, so that we can be useful servants of him. Is that a good thing, church family? Is that a good thing? I know it's hard. So my question is, are you profiting? Are you profiting from adversity? Are you growing? As we face these trials, are we looking to God? And are we leaning upon him more and more? Are we going to the Word of God? Are we praying? Are we seeking his face? Are we allowing God to prune us, to purge us? God does have a purpose. And there's a lot of pain. And his purpose is that he would cleanse us and he would mold us to be more like Jesus Christ, to be conformed more like Jesus, and that is the goal. And God will do whatever it takes for us to get to that goal, and he will continue to do his great work in us. And our job is to submit to him. Our job is to trust that he really knows what he's doing, and he who begun a good work will what? He will complete it. He will perform it. He will do it in our hearts and lives. I want to ask us to close our eyes and bow our hearts.